Rav Kushkerman, Women's Shir, September 9th.
Before Rosh Hashanah every year, we talk about issues that could help us to go through Yom HaDin. It's like somebody wants to go through a court system. What do you do? Find a lawyer. The lawyer is going to sit down with you, tells you what to do, what to say, how to go, where to go. What words do you use? What words you don't use? They give you all different ideas how to go through a Bet Mishpat. The same thing with Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, and we have to go through the Mishpat, the Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have a lawyer. The lawyer is ourselves, and we have to figure out how to go through the Yom HaDin that is going to go smooth, say the right words, we act properly, and we do the right stuff. A lot of times when a person sits in a court, if you smile, you stare at the person, you say something that's not normal, you put your feet on the other side, every movement that you make, the judge looks at you or the jury looks at you, and based on that, they make a decision, should you be guilty or shouldn't be guilty? And they give them an idea. And what I want to talk about tonight, I want to talk about issues that would help us to do the right things. Because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, you have to be ready. And there was when a person wants to go through this court system, you prepare before. You don't just walk in and say, here I am, let's say whatever you want. You got to be ready for it. So what are the ideas that one should work on themselves in order when you go through the stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech HaChem Elohim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are ready to talk and we say and we do the right things. I want to focus on three or maybe four different things that one has to do in order to be a person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at him favorably. There is a parasha that every year, we say the same parasha every year right before Rosh Hashanah. And that's parashat Kitavo. Yesterday, last week. What's the reason for this parasha? Why every year this parasha falls in right before Rosh Hashanah? A lot of Farashim say because Tachel Tichle Shana Bekil Lelotea, Tachel Shana Ubirchotea. That all the kelalot, all the curses of the year should be finished. Because we have all the curses in this parasha. We want all the curses to finish with. And we want the year to start with blessings. But there is another reason that this parasha always falls before Rosh Hashanah. The message of this parasha is so important, which gives us the tools how to deal with Rosh Hashanah. The message of Parashat Kitavo is so strong that we normally when we read the parasha, we just go through it without paying attention what is the parasha is trying to tell us. The idea of it is very, very important. And this is what I want to talk about. The beginning of the parasha, the Torah tells us the halakha of Bikurim. What's the Bikurim? If somebody has a field and he grows grapes or grows figs, grows anything, you take a beautiful part of your grapes or figs, put it aside, and you put it in a nice basket, and no matter where you are in Eretz Israel, you pick it up and you go to Yerushalayim, and you come to Yerushalayim and you say the Hamarta Elam Igati Ayom Hashem Elokecha, and you say this pasuk. Say, here I am, Hashem. I'm bringing to you the my beautiful my basket of the best food that my field produced. This year I'm bringing it. What's going on here? What do we need this for? And more than that, the Mefarshim asks, they ask, the first pasuk in the Torah, it said, Bereshit bara Elohim et ha-shamayim et ha-ares. In the beginning, Hashem created shamayim ve-ares. What is Bereshit? If you look at the Midrash, Midrash says, Bizchut Rashit. What is Rashit? Bikurim. Hashem looked at the mitzvah Bikurim and created the world. Another from all the mitzvot that we have, the mitzvah of Bikurim was the most important mitzvah. That because of that, Hashem created the world. What is it? You could take grapes or figs or apple or orange, whatever you got, put in a basket, take it to your shalim and here I am. You do a lot of other mitzvot. Why bedafka this one? That the Midrash tells us, Bizchut Rashid, Bizchut Bikurim, Hashem created the world. The world was kedai, was worth it, to be created only because of that. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi right there, this the beginning of the Parashat Kitavo, says, She'eini kafui tova, Rashi says, that I have a sense of gratitude. In order to show our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm bringing the fruit to Eretz Israel. It's all beautiful. But you could say that also. You don't have to drag everything. Put all your fruits and everything in a basket and take it to Eretz Israel. You could say also with your mouth that Hashem, thank you, I'm makir tov, I have a gratitude towards you. Whatever you did to me, I don't have to actually do anything. Why do you have to actually do something? Because there is a difference by saying something and by doing something. It's not enough to say thank you. You have to show that you really mean that you really mean it, that you're saying thank you. When we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem, thank you, or I'm going to drag myself, I want to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I really mean it. I'm putting everything together and I'm taking it to Eretz Yisrael. That this is so important, Rashi says, that because of that was worth it, the whole world should be created for it. So how do we say thank you to Hashem? For what we saying thank you to Hashem? You know, every day we forget to look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know how many people this year, Rahman al-Islam, that tzarot, that they couldn't get out of their tzarot. And Belia and Arabi weren't one of them. And how many of us, we said thank to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem gave us the Briyut, the health, that we weren't one of them. And how many people they had nervous breakdown this year, and we weren't one of them. Did we say thank you to Hashem? Did we do something? Did we show something that shows that you're really thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makir Tov? Is not only about saying Toda Rabba. It's not only about saying thank you Hashem that you did that. We say that every day when we make a bracha, we're saying Toda Rabba. That you have to actually show it to Hashem that we really mean it. It's not lip service. It's not just we saying to just get your say Yedechova. We mean it, we want to show you that we really care about everything that you did for us. And this is what Mitzvah Bikurim is about. Mitzvah Bikurim is not about lip service, it's about that we went out of my way. I wanted to show you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I mean thank you. I mean it, that I say, when I say thank you to you, I really, it got to me. And I want to show you. I want to say to you, but I know by saying it is not enough. There is a very beautiful story by Rav Shimon Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Shimon Shua was the rabbi of Washington Heights, and the land in Europe, Rabbi Rav Yerucham Leibowitz. Rav Yerucham Leibowitz was Mashkiach of Nir, and when he was a Mashkiach in Europe, Rav Shimon Shua learned by him. When he was in Europe, he was a Bachur, he was a young boy in Yeshiva, and he didn't have money, he wanted to go see his parents for Pesach and Sukkot, didn't have money. He used to go to Rav Yerucham Leibowitz and said, "Would you please lend me some money, give me money, and I want to go see my parents." Rav Yerucham Leibowitz gave him money, and he went, he saw his parents, he came back, brought the money back, and gave it back to him. So Rav Yerucham Leibowitz said, "Take your money, I don't want it." And they said, "Fine." They didn't give him, "Fine," took the money, put it in his pocket. Then a few days later, Rav Yerucham Leibowitz saw him again and said, "What is my money?" He said, "I brought it to you." He said, "Don't want it." Rav Shimon Shuav said, "What did I do wrong here?" He said, "You brought the money back and you said thank you. But just saying thank you is not enough. Did you show it that you really mean it? When you say thank you, is that really what you meant? Or really bottom of it, you have to show it, you have to do something to say, to show your akarat hatov, the sense of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we show our gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have to do, we have to show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, you did so much for me, I want to do something for you. In order for me to say thank you to you is not about just saying Toda Rabba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melechai V'Chayam. That's not enough. You have to get up, accept something, say this mitzvah that I'm going to do this year is the sign of saying Toda Rabba to you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you did so much for me this year, and you gave me very good. You gave me parnasa. You know how many people said not parnasa? You know how many people, they went down the drain? They had nothing to eat this year. And Baruch Hashem, we weren't one of them. We don't pay attention to this. Just life is normal. We go through life without paying attention that how much, what could have been? What could have happened to us? We could have been one of those millions of people in America that Hashem Yerachem, that disaster. But how many of us, we did something to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the same way Bnei Israel did the Akarat HaTov, they brought Bikurim and they showed Hashem. That's what we have to do. And this is the reason Parashat Kitavo comes every year right before Rosh Hashanah. Parashat Kitavo, is the message of it is so strong, it's so important, because the message of Kafui Tova, if person has no gratitude, I'm not talking about another human being. I'm talking about towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so bad that don't even try to go towards Rosh Hashanah, because it's not going to work. That's what Tichle Shana V'Kilalotea means, that the year and its Kilalot should be over. We get to do something. We get to show something. We get to take something upon ourselves. And we say, I'm doing this only because I want to show you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because you did so much. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, endless. That could have happened to me and didn't happen to us. Don't look at the chisronot. Look at a lot of good things that happened to us, and we owe it to Hashem to say Toda Rabba. The second thing is Ma'avir al-Midotav. You know, every year I talk about this Ma'avir al-Midotav, that a person should let go, should not hold a grudge. You should not stick to a problem that has with somebody or with a neighbor or whatever. Let go. In Hebrew we call that Mevater. To let go. Forgive and forget. The idea of being Mevater, forgive and forget, is so very unfortunate, because so many of us, We don't have that. It's so difficult for us to do it. We mean to do it, but we don't do it. And I said a story about Rav Chaim Kanievsky, about last year, a year before that. So I want to tell the story again, because there's something else about that story that I just found out. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky, somebody once went to him, and they had a problem of having children. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, listen, I can't give you a bracha. There's nothing I can do. Get it. Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The man would not leave his office. He said, you have to give me a bracha that I have children. Rav Chaim Kanievsky said, thought to himself. He said, listen, you know what? There's one thing you can do. If you mevater, somebody comes and screams at you, or you find somebody that you could convince somebody that should be mevater, should let go, and should not respond to a fight, you could have children. This man said, well, where am I going to find something like that? Who am I going to find? He said, if you find somebody like that is mevater, and he gives the bracha, his bracha works. This man said, walks around the streets, nothing, nobody's there. Everybody has a fight, they scream at each other, and the other person screams back, they have a fight, the other guy fights back, nobody is going to stay quiet. So where am I going to find somebody like that? One time he was sitting at a wedding. The neighbor was there, and somebody else walked into the wedding hall. He went up to this guy, started screaming at him, said, why did you buy this house? You shouldn't have bought this house. Why did you pay money for it? Started screaming at him, embarrassing him in public. This man sitting there, and he runs to this guy. He says, no, please don't respond. Do me a favor, don't respond. And just says quiet. The other guy screaming, and this guy telling him, please be quiet, sit quiet, don't respond. And just begs him. In the end, the other guy leaves, and this guy sits there and responds. And he goes up to him and says, would you give me a bracha? He gives him a bracha. And they said, the man has children, yeah, later had children. Now somebody went to Rav Steinman, asked the question. He said, is this segula only about people outside, or would it work if you had a fight with your wife or with your husband, and you don't say anything? Is that segula works or it doesn't work? Does it have to be somebody outside, that you find somebody in the street that says like that? Or let's say between you and your brother, or you or your parents, or you and your husband or your wife, or anything like that, would it work? So Rav Steinman said, if that works there, for sure it works here also. In other words, if a person is in a situation that you have a fight with your sister, you have a fight with your brother, you have a fight with your mother, father, husband, wife, whatever, doesn't matter. And everybody there screaming at you, and you sit there and don't say anything. Nothing. You could give yourself a bracha. Do you know what a bracha is? That just stay quiet and don't say anything? Tremendous. That's the zechut of mevater. Let go. Don't respond. The second question was that they asked Rav Steinman. He said, you know, I have a fight with my neighbor. I don't want to talk to him. I have an issue with them. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to get close to them. Nothing. But you know, only because of this segula, I'm willing to go have a talk with them. Is the segula would work if I really don't mean it, but I'm just doing it because of this segula? Is that good enough? Rav Steinman also said that also works. Another word, if you have somebody next door, you hate their guts. They send their dog to your yard and mess up your yard every time. And you told them 20 times, don't do it, and they do it again. And you're sleeping Shabbos afternoon, their kids are banging on the walls, on the doors, and you told them, please, we're sleeping Shabbos afternoon, let us have quiet, they don't care. And for months, for all years, you didn't talk to them. Now, we come to Erev Rosh Hashanah, and you think to yourself, you know what, I want to be mevater. I want to let go. You go to them, and knock at the door, the guy starts screaming at you again. Start screaming, they say, what do you want from me? And I, you know, people, it's their fault, it becomes your fault now. And you stay quiet, say nothing. Just stay quiet, say nothing. This is Rav Steinman said. That also is a sebulah. That's also a bracha. You could give yourself a bracha. That's the Ma'alir al-Midotav. Now there's a famous story in Eretz Israel, I'm sure everybody heard about it. There is a known segula that if somebody wants children, if they buy the haftarah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and they read, they get the aliyah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that's a segula gedula that they have children. Somebody went to shul, they walked into the shul and they were doing auctions, and somebody bet on this first day of Rosh Hashanah Aftara. So whatever money was, he bought it. They had Aliyat Kohen, they had Levi, they had Shlishi. Rosh Hashanah is only five Aliyot, and then they have Maftir. When they said Shlishi, they Aliyat Revi. Somebody comes to this guy, he said, you bought the Aliyah of Maftir, right? Said yes. They said, we had a problem. So what's the problem? He said, me and my brother, we both bought Aliyat Revi'i and Chamishi. And according to Halacha, we cannot go up to Torah, we cannot go up, get an Aliyah, two brothers next to each other. So would you please give us one of the Aliyot and you take the Chamishi? He's sitting there looking at this. I bought Aliyat Maftir. I came, I waited all year to come to school to buy the Aliyah of Maftir because of this segula. Now this man comes up to me, he's telling me I should let go of the Aliyat Maftir because he doesn't want to go up with his brother. There's nothing else they can do. This man said nothing. He didn't say a thing. He didn't say why he bought the Aliyah. He didn't say why he spent so much money for the Maftir. He didn't say why he needs the Aliyah. Nothing. So no problem. Take the Maftir, I'll go up Chamishi. After they finished the Aliyah, the Torah and everything, somebody goes up to this man and said, do you know what did you do? Do you know this poor guy? The whole year was waiting for this Aliyah Maftir. What did you do to this man? They felt so bad. They felt so bad, they said, we're going to buy you and that next year, whatever happens, we're going to buy you Aliyat Maftir, the first of Rosh Hashanah. And you know what happened? Next year, they didn't need Aliyat Maftir anymore, because they had children during that year. You don't need to read about the idea was not at the Maftir, the idea, the Mevater, it was bigger Koach. It worked much better than going after an Aliyah. If you let go, don't hold grudge, don't Mevater, don't take it to heart. No one saw that Chamishi, Aliyat Chamishi. You want to give me this, give me this. Do whatever you want. Doesn't matter. That by itself is the biggest segula that a person could have. That's what we need to, that's our defense on Rosh Hashanah. This is what we need to prepare ourselves for. Now somebody once sent to Rav Eliyahu Lapian and said to Rav Eliyahu Lapian, no, you asking is so difficult. This is one of the most difficult things a person can do. This, to ask somebody to be quiet and don't respond, it's difficult. Now, Eliyahu Lapian said a beautiful story. He said there was once this man, this Ashir Gadol, wealthy man, wanted to take a trip with a train to go from one city to another city. And he took his dog with him. Took his dog into the train, and while they were sitting waiting for the train to go, the dog ran outside. And he went, he sat in the middle of the tracks and didn't let the train to go. They came to this wealthy man, they said to him, "Send your dog is holding up everything." So the man went down and he said to the dog, "Move." No, nothing. He got so upset, he had a stick in his hand, beat the dog up and pushed him away. Then the train started going. Then found out later that the dog is not out. Said, "Go back. I want to take my dog with me." They go back, they find out that the dog bled to death. So why this dog sat in the middle of a train track? They went down, they saw that this wealthy man dropped a lot of money and sat in the middle of the tracks. And this dog was so faithful to his boss, didn't want to let the money go. He just sat there, hold the money no matter what happened. Just sat there and held the money. And the Baal HaBas held him, beat him up, killed him. So Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian asked the crowd, said, "Do you think this dog is going to go to Gan Eden?" That's the question he asked. So everybody raised their hand and said, "Yes, this man that Mesirut Nefesh. He has so much self-sacrifice, for sure he's going to go to Gan Eden." So Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian said, "No, he's not going to go to Gan Eden." "Why not?" "So that's his job. A dog is a faithful animal to his boss. It's not hard for him to do what he did. That's the teva. That's his nature. Human beings is not their nature to do this. You have to go against your nature to do the proper thing. By going against your nature and do the proper thing, you get a bigger sakhar. That's you get Olam Haba. That's what the Gan Eden is for. Gan Eden is not for people to do something that is easy and is their teva and is their nature to do something. That's their job. Ma'avir al-midotav is a difficult thing. It's one of the most difficult midot a person could have. To be mevater is one of the most difficult things a person, a human being, could have. So Rabbi Eliyahu Lapian said, "If you want a segula for Rosh Hashanah, you gotta work hard. You gotta sweat for it. You can't just sit here and this, you know, Hashem give me this and give me that, and I want to have a good Rosh Hashanah, when I'm a good Yom Adin, everything is beautiful." It doesn't work that way. You get the koshi, you gotta work. You gotta work so hard at it until you get it. And this is what Ma'avir al-Midotav is for. The first, the parasha of Rosh Hashanah is parasha of Hagar and Sarah. Let's think about this for a moment. What is Hagar and Sarah, the parasha of the old debate between Hagar and Sarah for Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. We sit there, we asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for son. Hagar, the machloket, the argument between Hagar and Sarah, should Hagar marry Avraham Avinu, shouldn't marry Avraham Avinu? So who cares? Beautiful and important. That's nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. It's not true. That's the whole idea. What happened between Hagar and Sarah, it was so important that it gives us the message of Ma'avir al-Midotav. Look at the pasuk. what the pasuk says. Sarah couldn't have children. Sarah goes to Abraham Avinu, and she says to Abraham Avinu, "Take my shivcha, take my maid, marry my maid Hagar. Hulai, listen to the words. Hulai ibane mimena." How many people here knows Hebrew well? What does ibane mean? Build. Who's going to build? What's the right word for this pasuk? Ulay tibane. That's what the word should have been used. Ulay tibane mimena. Ulay ibane means that me, that's going to happen. You're going to have children with Agar, and we are going to have a child. And the tibane means that you are going to have baby with Agar, and we are going to be all one happy family. Ibane means that I'm going to have children. Ulay ibane, maybe I'm going to have built a family. How is Sarah knows? By going and marrying Agar, and Hagar is going to marry Abraham Avinu, and through that they're going to have children. That's not the right word. Sarah didn't know that. Sarah's idea was that I'm going to give my shibcha, my maid, to Abraham Avinu. They get married, they're going to have a child. And the child, I'm going to take the child, they're going to be my child, and we're going to have a nice family. It's over. But that's not what Sarah said. Ula ibane. And I'm going to build myself a family. Because Sarah knew if she is Mevater, she's going to let go. You know what the Gemara said? You know how difficult it is for a wife, for her husband to have two wives? Nobody wants to read here, right? But you know how difficult, the Gemara says, how difficult it is for a wife, for a husband, for a wife to see her husband has two wives. Tremendous. And Sarah said, "I'm willing to bite the bullet for in order for my husband to have children. And I'm willing to have a God in my house." And she went through so much. She was mevater to go through it. And this chutzah, she said, is not the safek here. Ulay ibane, I know I'm going to build it. I know I'm going to have it. It's not the safek. I'm going to do it. Didn't even use the word tibane. So I'm going to ibane. And this is what the story of Hagar and Sarah through Rosh Hashanah. That's why we read this parasha in Rosh Hashanah. Because the message of this parasha is so strong. It's so important. That we, again, as I said at the beginning, you need a defense team. We need to be ready. So if you're going to the court, you have to have your facts straight. You have to have all your paperwork ready. One of the paperwork that we need to have, Ma'avir and Medotah. Rachel and Leah. Why Rachel is so important? Mama Rachel. Why everybody goes and cries to Rachel? Rachel was the same thing. She was Mevater. That's the koach of Rachel Imenu. This is the koach of all other patriarchs and matriarchs that they had. They let go. They never held grudge to anybody. The third thing is Merachem al Beriotav. The Gemara tells us, "Kol a merachem al Beriot, merachemim al ben Hashamay." Anybody has mercy on any creature, any Beriot, human beings, Hashem is going to have mercy on them. What is the most important tefillah that we say during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Yud Gimel Midot. Right? Under my office. the most important tefillah that we say on Rosh Hashanah is Yud Gimel Midot. What do we read on Yud Gimel Midot? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'Chanun, Erech Hapaim, V'Rav Chesed V'Emet. That's the most important tefillah. Now, I want to tell you something. No commentary asks this question, but it's so valid question. Why do we read this Yud Gimel Midot? We say, the Gemara says, because we say, Kel Rachum V'Chanun Hashem is Rachum, Hashem is merciful, and Kel Mechanen, and he also Hashem is Chanun. He has so much passion for other people. You should do this. Ma'u Rachum, Afata Rachum. Same way Hashem has mercy, you should have mercy. Ma'u Chanun, Afata Chanun. Same way Hashem has passion, you should have passion. That's the pshat. That's the translation of this Yud Gimel Midot. Beautiful. Again, if you know Hebrew, it's not right. The translation is not right. It should say, Ma'u merachem, afata merachem. Ma'u mechanen, afata mechanen. Rachum means, in Hebrew, that I am, the mercy is coming to me. I'm the pity one. Ma'u rachum means that Hashem is the one getting, the people are mercy on him. If you want to have a mercy on somebody, you are the merachem. You are not rachum. If you want to have a passion, you are the mechanen. You are not chanun. Right? Is that the right Hebrew? So, this is that's not what they say. Ma'u rachum afata rachum. Ma'u chanun afata chanun. But we have mercy on Hashem. Who are we that we have mercy on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who are we that we have passion for Hashem? But Erech HaPaim, every other one is right. The other ones, the grammar is right. But these two doesn't come out right. The answer is like this. Hashem says, you want to have a mercy on me? Merachem alav eliyon. If you have mercy on people, that's the way that you have mercy on me. Ma'u rachum. And there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you need to have merachem al abriyot. In order for you to have mercy on me, you want to have a passion. You want to be passionate to me? I'm passionate to others. Through that, you have passion on me. Through that, you have mercy on me. That's the key. Of Yud Gimel Midot. Another word, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachem, is Merachem, everybody knows that. But yet the Chidush is, the important message of this Yud Gimel Midot is that we need to have Rachum on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We need to have mercy on Hashem. Hashem wants to teach us in order to be like me. You have to do something to others, to help other people. You have to have rachum on other people, merachem on other people, and through that, you merachem on me. This idea of merachem ala beriyot, to have passion and mercy on people, you know, for us, Baruch Hashem is easy and everybody has a good heart. You know, the Gemara tells us, Israel has gimel simanim. Jews have three signs. Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gomle Chasadim. Jews have always, they have mercy, they have shame, and they always do chesed. No question. But you know, sometimes we do things that we don't pay attention to. When tell the story happened in Eretz Israel, it was such a powerful story. There was a man that he was in the construction business. Somebody once, a lady called him up and had a problem. She had a problem with her apartment And the man went in, looked at the apartment, disaster. It was a mess. And in order for him to fix the apartment the way it's supposed to, it cost so much money. He looks at her, says, she's miskena almana, she's a widow. What is she going to get the money from? He didn't know, what am I supposed to do? I can't tell her how much it's going to cost. She's not going to be able to pay. And I can't just let her live in this apartment either. He thinks and he fixes up the apartment. Then she comes up to him and says, how much do I owe you? He says, nothing. So what do you mean nothing? Pay for the things. He said, the city paid for it. So what city paid for it? So I'm telling you, the city was their problem. They worked it out with them. The city paid for everything I needed to do here. You don't owe me anything. Fine. She's very happy, and you get somebody's life. 20 years later, this man wanted, he bought a piece of land in Bnei Barak, and he wanted to build his own apartment. And he went to this company to get material and everything, and he was shopping around. He went into this place in Bnei Barak, and he got the pricing on material, and they gave him the pricing, and they said, no, I'll get back to you. Wanted to shop around. Next morning, there's a truck coming into his apartment, and they saw everything he needed is on it. The truck guy comes in and said, I have a delivery notice, and I need to deliver everything to your place. So what? I didn't agree to anything. Why are you bringing everything here? They said, I don't know anything. They told me to bring everything that I need right here. Brings everything there, and it was, the guy said, no, I didn't accept anything, and who's going to pay for it? They're going to come to me 6 months later, the government's going to come after, police is going to come after me, I'm not taking anything. He goes to Bnei Barak, and goes to the person, talks to the balabas. Goes to the owner and says, what's going on here? He said, I don't know, got to go upstairs, talk to the manager, I don't know anything about anything. Goes up, talks to the person. The person says, you know, we have a paper here, everything is paid for. What you order, everything is yours. Don't owe us anything. And says, based on what? I didn't pay anything, I didn't sign anything, I don't want to get into trouble. You guys in Israel always work like that. If you don't owe anything, they will come back to me 6 months later, they're going to put me in jail, and going to tell me this, and going to tell me that. I don't want to get in trouble. But I'm telling you, the papers say they don't know what's anything. And sign up, and everything is beautiful. So I need to talk to the top guy. The top man comes in and says to me, let me tell you something. He said, when 20 years ago you came to this almana, this widow, you built the house, and you said, the city paid the thing, we believed it. We didn't believe it. So he said, now the city paid for you too. It's the same city that paid for my mother 20 years ago, the same city paid for you. This is Marachama level you. Now the Gemara says, if a person gives a tzedakah to Ani, he said, Almenat Sheikhye Beni. He said, I'm giving tzedakah because in order for my son to be well. The Gemara says, Arehu Sadiq Gamur. So Sadiq, this man is unbelievable. But he has a motive. He's gaining something. Otherwise, he's a Sadiq. So the answer is, when he gives the tzedakah, he's telling the Ani, you know why I'm giving tzedakah? It's not for you, it's for me. I'm gaining out of it. I'm not giving tzedakah to you, I'm giving tzedakah because I want to take care of my own needs. He's blaming it on himself. That's the merachem ala b'riyot. When a person, we merachem ala b'riyot, that we show it to them, that we merachem on them. We show them that we really be helping them. The key is that when you help somebody, they shouldn't even realize that you're helping them. That's the key. That's the merachem ala b'riyot. They have to come to that realization. Hey, I'm not there. I don't owe them anything. That's the key. Everybody is merachem. Everybody has a good heart. Everybody helps other people. Everybody does good things. Everybody does beautiful stuff. But that's the way we do it sometimes. We don't think. It's not that because we want to show off. But we have to think about doing chassadim, that how can I do something that the next person sitting the other side doesn't feel it. And I'm thinking, she's doing it to me. I'm getting benefit more than they getting the benefit. That's the Merachem HaRabbi. I want to tell you last story. The Sabba Mikelma had a dream. It's unbelievable. This dream is an unbelievable dream. He had a dream that Rabbeinu Yonah, the Sha'arei Teshuva, came to the city. Now Rabbeinu Yonah lived almost 2,000 years before Sabba Mikel. He had a dream that this Rabbeinu Yonah came to the city and everybody wanted to go see him. But they knew, because they knew everybody in the city is going to drag in, they're going to push in to see Rabbeinu Yonah. They said, they put a guard at the door, and they said, just send in some people, certain people that you know their name, you know who they are, you know they are important people. Don't just send anybody in. Fine. The Sabba Mikel goes up to the guard, and he says, I came to see Rabbeinu Yonah. So the guard said, what's your name? He said, my name is Peloni Ben Peloni, and I'm supposed to be Sabba Mikel. The guy looks at the list, says, I don't know who you are, I don't know anything about you. Have a nice day. Go home. So what are you talking about? Then he says, maybe my father's name. They look at the name again, your father, we don't know who you are. Nothing doing. He said, what are you talking about? I'm the Sabba Mikel here. I'm the big guy in the city here. The Sabba Mikel was the Rosh Hashiva of the Kel. So you don't know who I am? I cannot get into the room to see Rabbeinu Yonah here. He said, sir, I have no, your name is not here. What do you want me to do? He said, maybe you know me by my son. He said, who is your son? What's your son's name? He gives him the son's name. Looks at the list. He said, now you're talking. He said, your son is important there. Then you could go in now. Go in because of your son, you could walk in. He walks in and then wakes up. So what's going on here? I'm the Sabba Mikel, I'm the Rosh Hashiva, I'm the Rav in the city. I don't have enough zechut to see Rabbeinu Yonah. My son is much younger than me. He has the zechut to see Rabbeinu Yonah, and I'm using his zechut. He goes, calls up his son, comes, come on in. So what, who are you? So now I'm an average guy, nothing. So tell me, I'm ordering you to tell me, what did you do? What is your ma'asim that because of you, you are able to see Rabbeinu Yonah, and I wasn't able to do it. Boy thinks and thinks and thinks. He said, the only thing I could think of maybe is this. He said, I wanted to buy a shoe for myself. I walked and I gathered money, put money together. Finally, I had money to buy boots for winter. So I went, I bought the boots. I saved money for so long that I was able to buy the boots. Next night, I was sitting, and somebody knocked at the door, opened the door, and I see two guys standing in snow outside. He had nothing in his feet. I looked at him, and I gave him my boots. I said, Chavo, take the boots, and that's it. It's all I need. He said, Saba Mikelm said, now I understand why your zechut is bigger, more important than my zechut. That's merachem al avriyot. When you merachem on people, when you have mercy on people and you show them that they helping you more than you helping them, that is by itself is an unbelievable defense. This is what we need to aim for. This is what we need to work for. This is what we need to prepare ourselves. So therefore, what I said tonight, three things. If you work on this, that's a lot of other things. So that's the three things that if you work, you think, and you work on it, the karat atov, the karat, showing the gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and letting go, mevater. And the mevater is the real mevater. It's difficult, but it works. And the last thing is merachem al abriyot. If we have mercy on other people, and we show that we have mercy on them, they're helping us, not we helping them. We feel them. We make them feel good. Through these three things, when you walk into the courthouse on Rosh Hashanah, Be'ezrat Hashem, you could have a good lawyer. This is, we are our own lawyer, and we could present our case properly, and through that, Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocher le chatima, v'ktiba chatima tova.